edition of Everything Unscripted podcast, and this is the Hard Hit. Tonight, my hosts are Doug.
Yo.
And Krina. What's up? How are you guys?
Pretty good. Clintus, did you borrow my phone?
Your phone? No, I'm in the car.
I know, because I was just going to say the reception, it's like you're talking on my phone.
Yeah, because I'm on the middle of the turnpike right now.
Oh, okay. Michelle, how is everybody?
Pretty good.
Yeah. Well, if it's that bad, then I'll probably have to, like, keep my thoughts quick and, like, leave.
Okay. Doug, you want to get into the plugs first?
Sure. Listening to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern Time. Mixlr.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. Wednesday nights they go on after AEW. Friday nights they go on after SmackDown. They can be found on all major podcast platforms, Stitcher, iTunes, iHeartRadio. Also listen to us every Friday night, usually around 8 o'clock Eastern Time here on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. This Friday night, we will be doing, reviewing the September 22nd, 1997 Raw. We're coming up on the anniversary. As a matter of fact, it's going to be that anniversary is next Tuesday. It's the first Raw from Madison Square Garden. A couple of iconic moments there, including Mick Foley finally bringing Cactus Jack to the WWF at the time. And of course, the first ever Stone Cold Stunner by Steve Austin on Mr. McMahon. Or on Vince McMahon.
Oh, wow.
That's why
I had to rewatch it.
Yeah, so do I. That's why I repicked it. That's why we're going to do it, because we were too lazy to put a poll up. It's already Tuesday. The show's on Friday. So I called the audible and basically said, fuck it, let's do this.
Yeah, and Kenny didn't give me an answer anyway, so.
What a putz. Listen to us on Sundays, usually around 5:30 Eastern Time. Same channel, blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. This Sunday, we will finally be on the air with the superhero movie tier list. We were supposed to do it last Sunday, or this past Sunday, did not happen. We had prior commitments, kinda. Last minute change. We're going to do it again last night, but my buddy Mark couldn't be on, so we are going to do it this Sunday. It's a promise. It's a guarantee. Nothing is going to stop us. We'll just have
unless
to make
we all
sure
get
that...
sick.
Even if we all get sick, we're going to suck it up, not be pussies, and be on the air.
Okay.
But unless, you know, we're dying. But so make sure you listen to that. Next Friday night on the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast will be our special episode where we review the PWI 500. Scott Casey, Rod Price, and Sam Houston are scheduled to join us. I will talk to them sometime early next week to make sure that they still are going to do this. But as of right now,
it's next week already.
Yeah, I know. Trust me, time flies, Eric.
Yeah, we're old, that's why.
Yeah. And also, the Unscripted Jeopardy tournament still going on. We're still working on the round two questions, starting to get around to it. We should start that up hopefully next week, maybe the week after. So listen out for that. We had a very successful round one. round two is going to be even better. It's going to be more competitive. And
harder questions.
Huh?
Harder questions.
Harder questions and bigger bribes towards the host. So, or at least the bribes better be bigger. I'm not going to cheat for somebody if they only offer me 10 cents again. But yeah, so basically those are the plugs. That's everything we have coming up. Also Patreon will be starting soon. We believe we're still talking about it. But listen out for that. We'll give everybody the details once we decide what the fuck we're doing.
Yep. Now let's get right into it with the opening game last Thursday night. The defending champions, the Kansas City. I almost said Houston Texans. The Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Houston Texans. This was Kansas City won 34-20. Kansas City dominated pretty much the whole game. Houston stayed in it here and there, but it was pretty much Kansas City all the way. Doug, what were your thoughts on the game?
First of all, I bet that Kansas City regrets letting fans in the arena because of what happened at the beginning. And, you know, it's a football show. Let's really not get into not get into the political crap, but I will say this.
Yep.
I liked the show of solidarity that everybody had. For those of you that did not like it, and if anybody that was at that stadium right now that booed is listening to this, you need to go, you need to go flub yourself. I'm not going to say the actual F word because I don't know who's in the car with Clinton right now. Well, Clint is either in the car or he's underwater.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
All right.
You're all good.
All right. Very good. So, anyway. But other than that, I thought the game was good. I thought Houston coming out right out of the gates was kind of good. But the issue is that Houston can't keep a lead and they can't close. So, Kansas City showed why they are the defending champions. I mean, I think they are gonna slip at some point. I'm still gonna stick with that. However, last Thursday night, Clyde Edwards-Helaire definitely proved that he is for real, at least for right now.
Yeah, I mean they have Baltimore in a couple of weeks, so we'll see how that goes head to head to the two elite teams in AFC. Graham, do you have any thoughts on the game?
I just thought it was like a real, well, let's put it this way. The whole week, it's been like a DC team, like a real feel for preseason. That's exactly what this whole week I feel like watching some games. Like some teams that should be good are not good because of that.
A lot of teams, blue leads, we'll get to that later. a lot of teams were rusty. A lot of teams came out rusty. Kansas City started out a little bit, but they not really. Once they got the lead and once they got the flow going, they played like champions. So, yeah, and Kansas City has who they have next week.
They're playing the Chargers,
Yeah, they're playing the Chargers in LA in that new stadium. So, you guys have any more thoughts on that game?
On that game, no.
Okay. Let's go with the Buffalo Bills game. Buffalo Bills came out and won 27-17 against an. It was New York Jets. They played really well. Josh Allen looked great. His stats, 33-46. He threw over 300 yards and two touchdowns. and had a rushing touchdown. So he had 3 touchdowns altogether.
Here's the issue. Is that they had things well in hand. It was 21-0 at one point, and they let the Jets kind of turn it into a game a little bit. So I'm not going to, you know, praise Buffalo. Yes, they did good. Yes, they looked good. But the defense gave up too much to the Jets. You cannot let anybody score 17 points on you, especially when you're already up 21-0. They let the Jets hang around too long. Now, they're lucky because it's the Jets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
If it would have been anybody else, like if it would have been, like if they do that to Miami this week, Miami's gonna come back and bite them.
Yeah, because that name's in Miami, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean, you have any thoughts on that game, Cliff, Michelle?
I didn't really watch it today. There's only a couple games I had thoughts on.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Buffalo looked like they came out strong, so, but they have to finish strong, too. So
they
didn't finish
like
strong.
Hang out with them. They cannot let teams hang in there. And that's the thing, and then like everybody's getting excited about how well the Bills played. They played the Jets, right? It's not that big of a statement win. You want to impress people? You want to impress people? Beat Miami in Miami in week 2. I mean, that might not impress too many people, but then not only do that, but in week 3, when you have to play the Rams in Buffalo, by the way, beat the hell out of the Rams. That's going to impress.
Yep. Exactly. Now on to the Philadelphia Eagles and the team with no name, the Washington football team. Well, the Eagles came out strong. They got off to a 17-0 lead. It looked like the game was going to be a blowout. Everything was bright and smooth until Carson Wentz threw that interception, and then all hell went loose and everything. The momentum switched. You could tell everything switched because that pumped up the Washington team. And as I was watching, I said, oh, no, this is not going to be good. It's not good. And then Washington scored, made it 17-7 before halftime. And then Washington stopped them in the first drive in the second half. And I said, I had a bad feeling. Did I even texted you, Doug, remember?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I really wasn't paying much attention to that game, nor was I really – I mean, I was kind of paying attention a little bit to the Bills game, but the game I cared about was actually Carolina and the Raiders.
Oh, yeah, that was a good game, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
But – The thing is that like with that game, again, you cannot let teams hang in there. It doesn't matter how bad the team is. And unfortunately, Philadelphia, you know, they're off to a slow start. We'll see what happens against the Rams next week. Washington has a very interesting game coming up next week or coming up on Sunday against Arizona. Who would have thought that both of those teams were going to start 1-0?
Not me. But, hey, it's 2020. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
You have any thoughts on Cliff? I know you do. All
right. About that game. That was a game of 2 halves.
Yep.
And looking at that game. Philadelphia is a team right there, but people say that preseason means nothing. It shows preseason means something. It really does. And
yeah.
I think people who vote for not to have a preseason every year want to see that these coming weeks, these next 3 weeks. They're going to see that.
Yeah, I think these first four games are like preseason.
After that last bomb that Jason Rager caught at 50-yard bomb that led to their final field goal, the rookies just looked like they didn't want to play no more.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was really terrible to watch. It was like, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like frustration, everything just boiled into one as an Eagles fan. But we're kind of used to that, aren't we, Clint?
I mean, I know how you guys feel. I had to deal with it for so long as a Bills fan.
Oh, yeah, I know. But we've all been there.
I mean,
it's only week one.
Here's another funny thing, and I'm sure we're going to talk about these two teams. How do you think the Lions fans and the Bengals fans feel right now?
Oh yeah, I know. Especially Lions. Damn. Let's get into that game. Let's segue into that. The Bears came back from what was it? They were down. Like double digits, weren't they? They were down.
Hold on, I'm actually, I clicked on the game summary right now. Hold on, I got. Oh, here we go. All right. Let's see. They were down 23-6 at one. They were down 23-6 at one point.
Yeah, going into the fourth quarter. And then Chicago scored 21 unanswered points. I don't know what happened to that, but wow.
It was according to the drive summary here, there was a punt, and then there was a missed field goal, and then there was an interception.
Yeah, it looks like Mitch Trubisky threw three touchdowns, no interceptions. Wow.
Yeah.
He didn't play that bad.
I mean, again, you know, you talk about what the Eagles fans are going through right now. I mean, the Lions have to make a statement this year.
Yeah.
Because Matt Patricia
is
done.
No, hold on, Quinn. Let me just make this point, and then you can argue. The Lions have to make – I said let me make the point, and then you can argue.
Yeah.
Matt Patricia, this is his third year. He's coming from the Bill Belichick system. Everybody expected him to do something with the Lions. They haven't done anything. Right? A lot of it last year was because Stafford got hurt. But still, this is his third season. He's in the hot seat. So the Lions have to do something besides lose in order for Matt Patricia to retain his job.
Exactly.
Over in Chicago, the only person that has to prove himself is Mitch Trubisky, or else he's getting replaced by Nick Foles.
Yep, exactly. And I think the coach for Chicago is on the hot seat, too.
No, because he made it his first year.
Yeah. That's true.
So I think he stays for at least another year.
Yeah. Good point. Kenneth, you going to say something?
I was going to say more. I think it's more of a Mitch Trubisky type of thing. Because of Nick Foles being on the bench, he's waiting in column. I think him leading a comeback win, it's more important than Matt Patricia or Trubisky. I think everybody look at what the Bears did with Mitch Trubisky moving up to the draft room over Patrick Mahomes and what's his face? Sean.
Yeah.
And Deshaun.
Right.
I think it was more of a statement win for them than anything else.
Oh, no,
that's
it's
true.
A statement win for Trubisky. I think that right now, and here's the thing, too. Now they go to week two. They got to play the Giants. The Giants who suffered a loss last night. But Daniel Jones really didn't play that bad. Except, and if you look at, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little bit here, but if you look at what happened in that game last night, the Giants, when they drove down and Daniel Jones threw that interception in the red zone, it was because he was getting hounded, and that ball got tipped. Had not the ball been tipped, the Giants would have scored the touchdown.
That's true. And he couldn't stop Mark.
Right, well,
and he stopped Mark.
And let's take a look at another thing, too, about the so-called the Bears games. Bears still almost lost that game. He still was a drop touchdown with like 7 seconds left in the game.
Yeah. That's another team. Lions, as Doug said earlier, you can't let teams come back. You can't take your foot off the gas until the final second. No.
Absolutely not. When you have a lead, when you have a commanding lead, you have to keep pounding. You have to keep pounding them down to the ground. You cannot get cocky.
Exactly.
You cannot let them up. Look at what the Packers did. The Packers just absolutely dominated Minnesota, and they never let up.
Yeah, I was surprised at that game. Actually, we'll get to that game now. The Green Bay Packers went to Minnesota and dominated. Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers. He absolutely looked like an MVP candidate right there. He threw for 364 and 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Aaron Jones played solid ball. Yeah, the Packers all around were the best team that day. And the Vikings, they couldn't keep up until, even though they scored 34 points themselves. So, yeah, I was surprised the Vikings didn't win that game. I had the Vikings winning that game.
Well, I thought they were going to win that game, too. But no, I mean, Aaron Rodgers played great. Aaron Jones, the running back, he had a good game. And the Packers offense dominated the Vikings defense.
Yeah, they were cooking. I mean, Kirk Cousins didn't play that bad. He had 259 and 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. So,
right.
But that wasn't enough.
Yep.
You have any thoughts on that game, Claire?
If you compare it to all the other games, I'll look at this. Packers started off slow in that one, too. I mean, the Packers didn't really take the lead until, in the middle of the third quarter. It was like, to the end of the going in the half, they had 8-7 lead. 2 field goals and a safety. And then the second half is really took off. I think week one is more like a tale of two halves for a lot of teams. Those teams who played a full 4 quarters. Okay, so
that's very true.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And then
I mean, there's only like one team I think that played a full game and made it, and that was Baltimore.
Yeah, very true. Well, we'll get into that one now. The Ravens pounded the Browns 38-6. This was the biggest margin of the week of all the games. The Ravens played like statement, even though the Browns are a team to make a statement against, but they made a statement that they're coming for that Super Bowl this year, and the Chiefs better watch out. They dominated the Browns on both sides of the ball.
Huh?
Lamar Jackson played like a MVP candidate. 275, three touchdowns. Ran for seven times for 45 yards. And Mark Ingram had 29 yards. Rookie J.K. Dobbins had two touchdowns. And then Malcolm and then Mark Andrews had two touchdowns. You have any thoughts on this game, Doug?
Not really, except for I'm not surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody is surprised that the Browns came out like that. I mean, they are who they are in the Browns. Now, another team that almost blew a lead, the Vegas Raiders, but they managed to come back and retake the lead and won't win. They had a...
fuck you.
I know. I had Carolina in this game myself, so... I know how you felt. They had a double-digit lead, I think. They had a 27-15 lead, and then Carolina came storming back and took a 30-27 lead. And then the Raiders came downfield and scored a touchdown and won the game 34-30. Derek Carr played pretty good. So, and Josh Jacobs, rookie. The guy that should have been rookie of the year last year had three touchdowns for 93 yards and four catches for 46 yards. I was happy because he was in my fantasy team, so there's a plus there. But, yeah, this was another good game. The Raiders showed that they can score points. Carolina, well, they sure didn't score points. Neither have defenses. So it looks like both teams are going to be giving up points this year. You have any thoughts on this game, Doug?
I mean, my thoughts are basically this. I took the Panthers basically just because they were the underdog, and when you take the underdog, you make more money.
Exactly. That's why.
Here's the thing though, the Raiders came out with a statement, and you know they're going to have another statement next Monday night when they play against the Saints in the home opener. So the very first game in Vegas, even though there's going to be no fans there, or at least I don't think there's going to be fans there, they're still going to try to make another statement.
Oh, yeah.
Carolina,
they don't
want to
lose their first game there.
Huh?
They don't want to lose their first game in Vegas.
Right. So they're going to try to keep making a statement because all people think of them right now is that they're a joke.
Yeah.
And they proved on Sunday that they're not necessarily a joke. Now, they were lucky to win, but their defense came through at the very end and made sure that there was a turnover on downs. And that's what stopped Carolina.
Yep. In Carolina, we actually played pretty well. Bridgewater played solid. He had 270. I mean, Christian McCaffrey. He showed why he is probably the best running back in the league. I mean, you can argue that, but he had two touchdowns. Robbie Anderson, former Jet, had six catches for 115 yards. So, yeah, Carolina showed that they're not as terrible as people are going to think, but we'll see in the next couple weeks how they play against their division. They're in a tough division with the Saints and in the Breeze and Brady and the Bucks. We'll get to that game later. What's next? So, Seattle and Atlanta. Seattle came out and they came out like on fire like Packers did, and they made a statement against the Falcons. Which, by the way, I had the Falcons winning this game, and I thought Seattle coming to Atlanta, Falcons have good offense, but Seattle.
And we're not saying that Atlanta's bad, because if you look at Matt Ryan's number, Matt Ryan threw for 450 yards.
Yeah, and two touchdowns.
Okay. All right, he threw for 450 yards, so in no way did he have a bad game. Russell Wilson just had a better game.
Yeah.
True.
He had four touchdowns himself.
Gurley also looked good in his Atlanta debut as well.
Yeah, he did. He looked like, I think, coming to a new team, I think it's going to revamp his career. He's from Atlanta, too, so going back home, being closer to family, I think he's going to revamp his career. Sometimes people need change. So, good for Todd Gurley. Yeah, this game was high scoring, another high scoring game, especially in the second half. Both teams, I mean, Seattle proved why they're one of the best teams. And Russell Wilson proved why he is an MVP candidate himself. And all around, Seattle played a good game, so did Atlanta. It just happened that Seattle played a better game. Any more thoughts, guys?
On this game, no.
How about another game that a team blew a lead, the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Indianapolis Colts? You want to start this one off, Doug?
Oh, this was... I feel bad for Phillip Rivers, but I really feel bad for Marlon Mack, who tore his Achilles, and he's out for the year.
Yep.
And this guy is supposed to be one of the star running backs, and now it's on this, what's this rookie's name? It's Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, he's from Wisconsin. It's going to be him and Nice, whatever his other running back's name
is. Oh, Hines?
Is it Hines or Nines?
It's Nyheim Hines.
Okay. Thank you.
Something like that. But here's the thing. Jacksonville came out. They made a statement. We'll see what happens. We'll see what they do next week against Tennessee. I really don't think they're going to do much. But, you know, it was a nice statement win for them. Here's another thing everybody has to remember. It's just week one.
Yeah.
You can't necessarily take anything that you saw on Sunday or last night or last Thursday seriously, because it's just week one.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking at Minshew's stats. He only threw one incompletion all game. He was 19 for 20, 173 and three touchdowns. I mean, he didn't throw a lot of yards, but throwing one incompletion all game, that's pretty impressive. Even, I mean, he threw 20 times, too. Yeah, he threw three touchdowns, and the rookie, I think he's a rookie. Robinson, he had two touchdowns. No, he had 52 yards, no touchdowns. Come on. You have any thoughts on this, Cliff? Okay.
No, not really, man.
Now the Miami Dolphins. Oh, okay. Oh, the Miami Dolphins and the New England Patriots. The Patriots won 21-11. Against the Miami Dolphins. Cam Newton in his debut, 15 for 19, 155. No touchdowns passed, but he had two rushing touchdowns. Ran for 15 times, 75 yards. Kind of looked like the old Newman, old Cam Newton when he was in Carolina, his MVP year. I'm not saying he's going to be MVP, but he did look like he was revamped himself.
We'll see what happens in week two against Carolina. We'll see what happens when they play Seattle on Sunday night. Again, you cannot necessarily get excited about what you see in week one, because especially now with there being no preseason, teams are just feeling each other out right now.
know.
Exactly.
I know you know, Glynis. I'm explaining it to everybody listening.
Oh, no, I'm not talking to you. I was talking about Randy's driver. Sorry.
Okay, moving on to the Bengals and Cincinnati Bengals. The Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Chargers.
Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals that played the Cincinnati Bengals are actually from Hoboken. It was a poor attempt at a joke. This game.
Well, you're on live radio too.
Yeah. Here's the thing about this game. It was a competitive game. I am happy, obviously. I could have cared less who won. I put money on the under. All right, and the under was under 42 points. So I'm just happy they didn't score over 42 points.
Yep.
However, I do feel bad for Joe Burrow. He thought he had the game won. But it was that OPI that took everything back, which that OPI, I think like they had a case there, you know, against AJ Green. Of course, the OPI that I think was complete bullshit was in the late game.
Yeah, we'll get to that one.
But also too, that missed field goal. That Kenny Bullock realized he fucked up after he missed a field goal. That's why he said he pulled a hammy. He didn't pull a hammy. He was just trying to get everybody off his back. He's basically trying to make an excuse so people don't try to fucking kill him.
Yeah, he missed that. I can't believe he missed that. But, first round pick, first overall pick, Joe Burrow played really solid. He had one interception, but for a rookie, he was impressive. He led the Bengals downfield, had a chance to win it, had a chance to tie it. Neither was his fault because AJ Green had the pass interference and then a missed field goal. So, and the look on Bro's face was priceless, but poor guy.
Oh my God.
You have any thoughts on this game, Glenn? You have any thoughts on this game?
Oh, no. Oh, man. Oh,
right.
No, yeah.
We'll get to the Tom Brady versus Drew Brees game. The Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. New Orleans came out and showed that they're still the class of the NFC 34-23 against Brady and company in Brady's debut. Drew Brees had 160 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Brady had 239 and 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, including a pick 6. Doug, did you catch any in this game? I know you were watching the San Diego and LA game.
Oh, no, we were watching Red Zone, so we got to see all 3.
Okay. What's your thoughts on this game?
Drew Brees played better than Tom Brady.
Yes, and then defense stepped up when they needed to.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Clay, if you have any thoughts on this game, I know you probably do.
Yeah. I want to say this. Tampa Bay is going to be another slow starting team. And you saw how fast he did when he went up 7-0, right on New Orleans. You really thought that this was really going to be Tom Brady's year. They, it's really like still a gym. But it really proves to you that coaching is really a factor, especially if you watch the post game and how Bruce Arians threw Tom Brady under the bus for those two picks he threw.
Wow. That's also a good start.
He threw him under the bus, so we'll see.
Throwing your star quarterback under the bus after one game. Yeah, good job. That's off to a flying start. New Orleans made a statement, and Tampa Bay still has work to do. Now the Arizona Cardinals go into San Francisco, beat the defending NFC champions 24-20. They came back. What were they down? They were down 13-10 going into the fourth quarter, and he came out and scored San Francisco 14-7 in the fourth and won 24-20. What are your thoughts, Doug?
I was happy. I mean, this is another game I had money on. I put money on Arizona. I was told for a couple of days after I put money on Arizona that I was completely stupid.
I said it was a good bet, didn't I?
I think you were the only person that complimented what I did.
Yeah, that was a good investment. You put down plus money.
Yeah, so, like, and here's the thing, and again, Arizona was the underdog, obviously. So, like, the way that would have worked was, they didn't even need to win. They could have lost by 6 points, and I still would have won. But the fact that they won just made it even sweeter.
Exactly. They were cut this in half. You have any thoughts on that, man?
Well, I just thought it was like a good showing. I think more of the Arizona wide receivers, Hopkins and Larry Fitzgerald and everything like that coming around. That's one thing I was looking forward to, and I enjoyed watching it and seeing how Hopkins is going to adapt to Kyler Murray after having Deshaun Watson all these years.
Exactly. And Murray showed that he could be a star in this league. Now to the late game, the Sunday night game, the Chargers and the Cowgirls. the Chargers in their debut in the new stadium, which by the way is absolutely fantastic.
Rams,
stadium.
Not Chargers.
I mean the Rams, thank you. The Rams. That new stadium is fantastic. Looking better than the Cowboys stadium. Rams pretty much, I wouldn't say dominated the game. It was back and forth, but the Rams defense just absolute dominance against that offensive line. They couldn't.
Had a chance to win it at that OPI call was bogus.
Yeah.
All right.
And who would have thought that?
Caleb should have gotten the first down. And then they could have gone in for the touchdown. I mean, Dallas did get robbed there. I know a lot of people aren't going to admit it because it's Dallas, but Jalen Ramsey flopped around like a fucking fish.
Yeah,
like, Jalen Ramsey's a hell of an actor.
I don't think so.
I'm actually surprised they actually caught it in Dallas.
That should have not been called. And it's just, I felt bad for Dak Prescott. I mean, I was okay with the Cowboys losing because I bet on the under, so they needed to stay under 52 points.
1 point. 227.
Exactly. Jared Goff played really well. He threw 275 one interception. He didn't throw any touchdowns. I'm surprised that running back Malcolm Brown in his fifth season, replacement for Todd Gurley, he really showed up and had two touchdowns for 79 yards. It looks like he's going to be the featured back in on the Rams now. He played really well. Who else? Robert Woods had an impressive game. As always, Zeke had an impressive game. It was Zeke. Amari Cooper. And CeeDee Lamb had 5 catches for 59 yards, 3 catches for 50 yards. Dallas has potential. They were just unlucky. A bad call on them. And their offense looks like start to gel, I think the offense is going to be one of the best offenses in the league. It's only week one. We all said. So I'm not taking anything away from the Rams, but yeah, Dallas got robbed. And Dallas has two deaths. Dallas has next week. They have Atlanta. That's going to be another good game. Dallas home opener. So now let's get into the last night's games. Pittsburgh Steelers and New York Football Giants. Pittsburgh return of Big Ben, and he looked like the big old Big Ben for a couple of plays. He had 3 touchdowns, 229. He looked like the old Big Ben. Steelers look like they can be one of the best offenses in the league if they stay healthy. Unfortunately, unfortunately, James Conner got injured. He injured his ankle and was out for the game, and then Snell came in and dominated. What are your thoughts, Doug?
I thought it was a good game. I mean, it cost my brother money, but he'll learn.
Don't go with your heart.
Yeah.
I've learned that in the past. Believe me.
I mean, the Giants didn't play bad. It was just they couldn't – they had trouble – their offense had trouble dealing with Pittsburgh's defense, and their defense couldn't really stop Pittsburgh's offense. I mean, they did for a little while.
Yeah, the first couple drives. And then Barkley couldn't get anything going. Barkley was held to 6 yards. When was the last time Barkley was held to 6 yards?
I can't remember.
Yeah, Barkley couldn't get anything going on the ground, but he still had a good game because he had 6 catches for 60 yards. So, yeah, the Giants just couldn't get in the end zone. They made a mistake in the red zone, as you said earlier, when Daniel Jones threw that pick. That pretty much sealed the deal. And, yeah, that's all she wrote. I mean, the Giants didn't play as horrible as I thought they were going to. As probably a lot of people thought. I thought the Steelers were going to absolutely blow them out. But it was the first game, and everybody comes out wants to make a statement. So, fortunately, Pittsburgh was a better team. Do you have any thoughts on this game, Claire? Enough?
Yeah, I'm here. No, let's look at it like this. The Giants played like an average Joe team. What it is, and I think what really killed finished the Giants off was that 19-play turnover by Danny Dimes. That's all she wrote.
Yeah. Yeah. Now the nightcap. The second game of the doubleheader. And then the second game last night, the Denver Broncos and the Tennessee Titans. This was a defensive battle. Neither offense was great. I mean, Derrick Henry had a solid game, I think. He had over 116 yards. No touchdowns. Ryan Tannehill played solid. He had 249 for two touchdowns. And Corey Davis, not A.J. Brown, had 101 yards for seven catches. Did you catch this game, Doug, or did you fall asleep?
I had to go to bed. I had to get up in the morning.
Yeah. So you didn't see any of the game, right?
I saw a little bit of it, but not, like, much.
Yeah, it was a good game. I had money on this game. I had Tennessee plus the three and plus the four. Not plus the three. I mean, minus three. So, those missed field goals by so-called, what was his name, Gronkowski? I forgot.
Gronkowski.
Thank you. Yeah, he missed three field goals. One of them was blocked. Yeah, that cost me money, but hey, what can you do? That's gambling. You lose some, you win some, you lose some. That's what I've learned in this gambling world. Can't win them all. Now let's get on to previewing prediction this week. We have a 13 night football, Cleveland Browns and the Cincinnati Bengals. Battle Ohio, Cleveland playing at home. They are a 6-point favorite. Some books are 5.5, and over under is 43.5 right now. I don't know. You have any thoughts on this, Doug?
I'm looking for Burrow to get his first win.
Yeah. So I might take the plus money line or the minus six, maybe plus six.
This is a game that I really don't want to bet on.
Yeah, this is a hard game to bet on because neither, Cleveland could come out and absolutely win, but who knows? Neither team is great. Neither team has great offenses, so the under looks like a good game. The under looks like it could be a good bet. How about you, Kenneth? Kenneth? Anyway,
Hello?
Oh.
Yeah, Browns away. Okay,
I'm going to. You gonna pick the Browns?
I'm taking the Browns. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards the Bengals, so I'm gonna take the Bengals. You're taking the Bengals, Doug?
Yeah.
Yeah. I take the Bengals. I lean towards the Bengals. Should be a good game. Hopefully, Cleveland shows up. Now the Sunday games. We'll start out with Buffalo and Miami. Buffalo is a -5.5, over under 41. I lean towards Buffalo, but wouldn't be surprised if Miami won.
Obviously,
can Miami cover
Buffalo, but here's the funny thing about the over under. I actually think that they're going to go. If I were to bet on this game, which I don't know if I'm going to or not, I doubt it. But I would actually bet that they're going to stay under 41.
Yeah. I mean, Miami only scored 11 points last week to New England. So how much are they going to score against Buffalo? I think Buffalo's defense is better than New England. So we'll see. How about you, Kenneth? I lean towards Buffalo.
Yeah, Buffalo for me.
Yep. But I think Miami can cover. I think that 5.5, it might be a I think they can win by a field goal. So I lean towards the cover for Miami, but I think Buffalo win. The Los Angeles Rams and the Philadelphia Eagles. It opened up as the Eagles were favorites at 3.5, and then today the Rams are the fight favorite now. At -1.5. And the over under is 46. So, huh? Yeah. So, I think I'm leaning towards the Eagles because I think everybody's gonna pick the Rams, and when everybody picks against the Eagles, it seems like the Eagles come out and win. So I lean towards the Eagles. How about you, Doug?
Another game I'm not necessarily gonna bet on, but if I had to pick, I think the Eagles are a better team, but I do think the Rams played better this past week, but I'm going to go with the Eagles.
Yeah. I'm glad to find out where you're going. You're going to the Eagles, too?
No, I'm actually going with the Rams. I want to go with the Rams. I'm going with the Rams. After what I saw, I need something to go on.
Well, Lane Johnson said he's playing, so that could shift. Some people that I think if Lane Johnson does come back, well, Miles Sanders needs to play too. So I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a homer and picking the Eagles, but I like going against most people, so I'm picking the Eagles. Now the Atlanta Falcons and the Dallas Cowboys, two teams that lost. The Cowboys coming to this game -4.5, pretty high, but and the over under is 52.5. If I had to pick, I think Atlanta can cover, and I'll take Atlanta, and I take the over. I think it's going to be a shootout.
I don't see Dallas rarely loses their home opener. So,
yeah,
this is one of those games that I'm interested in betting on, and I might, but I'm not sure yet. But if I were going to bet, I would probably bet that I would actually probably bet the over, because I agree with you. It's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, I think both offenses are going to come out firing indoors. And I think both teams are going to prove that they want to win. So I see like a 31-28 game. How about you, Clarence? Clarence? Okay. We'll move on to Detroit and Green Bay. Detroit. In Green Bay is -6. And Detroit comes into, as we know, a loss to the Bears. Oh, Cliff, you're back. Cliff?
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me now? Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
Do you have any
thoughts on the Dallas game?
Yeah, I was going to go with that. Dallas with the win, but I'll take Dallas.
I'll take Dallas.
I don't want to, but it's just like common sense. I'm going with common sense this week.
And now Detroit and Green Bay.
We have to.
Exactly. Detroit and Green Bay game. The over under is 49.5. I think that's pretty high, but I take the over in there, and I take Green Bay.
Again, this is another game that I'm not necessarily looking at betting on, but if I were going to bet, I would more than likely bet on the Packers
the Packers are going to wipe the floor with the Lions, and I actually think that they could go over 49 points because, I mean, I think the Packers can do that themselves.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I was going to say that. Yeah.
Score 43 left.
They're at home.
Yeah.
And Detroit showed they can't stop anybody when they let Kyle came back, come back. So. I take the over. And I take Green Bay minus 6. You take Green Bay to 2, Cliff?
I'll take Green Bay. But here's what we have to remember. And I think whoever goes about to talk about like preseason football and how it's just worthless and how it's just not meant for starters and the starters hardly never play, you're going to see a lot of teams make mistakes. Like good teams that should be good, A games type game, you're not going to see that much these next couple of weeks. You're really not. And that's one thing we have to like keep in mind here, that we're not going to have the same type of teams, the same in October or November. These teams are actually going to, I expect the good ones to finally show why they're good. It's just that dealing with teams with head coaches, getting new QBs and all that, it's going to really take time. And time you can't simulate in training camp.
Exactly. Now Minnesota and Indy's -3.5, -3. Over under is 48. This should be another good game. I lean towards the Colts because they're at home. And I think Phillip Rivers is going to want to win his first game at home, even though there's no fans. But Indy's going to want to show that they can be one of the top teams in the league. But I lean towards the Colts, and I like the under in this. I think both defenses are going to show up, and this is going to be a decent game.
I would take the over, too. I don't know. Again, this is not necessarily a game I know if I'm going to bet on or not. But we'll see. I'm actually going to take Minnesota in this one.
Okay. So you take the over if you had to bet?
I would actually take the under.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. Cliff, who do you like in this?
What are we talking about? What team are we talking about again? I'm sorry.
Indy and Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Yeah, this game is tough to call, too. I'm not going to – if I had to bet, if I was going to bet, I'm only going to bet in the total. Because you don't know which teams are going to show up. These first couple weeks are going to be interesting. But, yeah, I lean towards Indy. San Francisco and New York football Jets. The Jets are a +7 underdog and over under 42.5. I actually lean towards the over. I think 42 is kind of low. I think
the 49ers can get 42 by themselves. The Jets don't stand a chance of taking the Niners.
Exactly. I think this could go over with San Francisco by themselves, as you said. The Jets might not even score a touchdown. But, yeah, San Francisco doesn't want to start 0-2. They want to beat up on the Jets and then go home. So, Jets don't have a chance. How about you, Clay?
I want to go with the 49ers in this.
So we all agree 49ers are going to blow them out, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one of the most interesting games of the weekend this week, the Denver Broncos and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Denver coming off the loss last night and Pittsburgh coming off the win. They both come off a short week, so nobody has an advantage or disadvantage. Pittsburgh's a -7.5. which I think is a little high, but because Denver did play well last night, but they were also at home. So I actually lean towards Denver covering that, but Pittsburgh could win.
Now, Olin,
over
now,
under.
You said Pittsburgh is -7.5, so that means they're the favorite to win this thing, right?
Yeah.
They're a favorite to win by 7?
By more than 7. They have to win by 8.
So in order for somebody to win the bet, they have to win by 8?
Yeah, because it's 0.5. If it was just 7, you can just win by 7 and get the push and get your money back.
Okay.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. It's 7.5 is kind of high, I think, especially because both are coming up a short week.
Well, because this is actually one of the games. I don't know if I'm going to bet. There's only one game that I know of that I'm betting on for sure, but I'm looking at a few of them, and this is one of the ones I'm still looking at.
Yeah. Just look at the – before you place the bet, look at the line and see what it is and see if you're confident that they – if it's 0.5, they have to win – by that, they have to win by more than that. If it's just flat out like 7, you can bet on that. And if it pushes, if it, they win by 7, you get your money back because of the push. It's one of the tricks to betting is one of those 0.5 because they can get that. They can you can lose by 7, they can win by 7, and you lose your bet. So. I lean towards Pittsburgh winning, but Denver to cover. 41.5. I take the over.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to say because did Cortland Sutton play last night?
No, he was out.
All right, if he's still going to be out, that's a huge weapon taken out for the Broncos. So I don't know if I would go the over. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, we should have plenty of time. I don't make my bets until like Saturday or Sunday anyway, so we'll see. The line
over
under could go up.
I think
I'm
going to try to make 9 on Friday.
Yeah. The over under could go up and down.
I don't know. I can't deal with that. I don't understand how you guys do that. The whole over under say I understand that stuff. It goes way over my head.
I'm just getting into it, and the only reason why I'm still into it right now is because I've been winning.
So you've been lucking out.
Damn right.
Yeah. The over under is tricky too. 41.5 seems low, but for a football game, but Pittsburgh's defense showed that they're an elite defense. So who knows? And Denver didn't necessarily score many points last night. So I think that you're right, Doug. So I lean towards the under now. So now the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Tom Brady's home opener. And versus Carolina, is Tampa Bay having any fans? I know Jacksonville and Miami are having fans.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did because Florida is the COVID capital of the world. But
yeah,
I'm not sure
either.
What they're
gonna
do.
Wow, Tampa Bay is a -9. Which is really high. And the over under is 48.5. I take over. I think this could be another shootout. But I think Carolina could cover that game and Tampa Bay wins. Carolina showed they can play. So I don't think 9 is a good number for Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah, there's no way Tampa Bay is going to win by 9.
Exactly. I think this is a closer game than people think.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay doesn't look like they're jailed yet. How about you, Clint?
You know, I won't be surprised, but I'm going to go with Carolina.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I think Tampa Bay has a few weeks to gel. I need to gel. What are we going to take, man?
No, I'm saying that's all I wanted to say.
Okay. Now, do you like the over, Doug?
49, yeah. Because with this game, we know how high we saw how high the Panthers can score the other night or the other day. Tom Brady, when he gets going, he puts points on the board, so I could see it being a shootout.
Yep, me too. Now those Jacksonville Jaguars and Tennessee Titans. Jaguars going to Tennessee, -9. Tennessee's in -9 favorite. And the over-under is 42. I take the under, and I lean towards Tennessee. I think Tennessee's going to blow them out. But then again, I thought the Colts were going to blow them out, so what do I know?
We'll see what happens. I mean, I agree. I'm picking Tennessee here.
Yeah. As Clinton said last week, Jacksonville is going to get 5 lucky wins, so they got that lucky win last week. Right, Clinton?
All right.
Do you see them getting another lucky win to that end it next week? Or this week, something?
All I got says, I don't think they're going to get one this Sunday.
So Tennessee will start 2-0. Now, wow, there's a lot of 1 o'clock games. The New York Giants and the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears came back from Detroit against Detroit. 124-1. This game's hard to pick. Over under is 42. I kind of lean towards the under. I think Chicago's defense is pretty good. It's okay, but I don't think the Giants' offense is great. So I lean towards the under, and I lean towards the Giants upset. I'm gonna say it. Giants upset Bears.
I'll agree.
Well,
and I'll agree with they're going to go under too.
Yeah, I've seen upset.
I don't think so. I think I'll go with the Bears. I think the Bears will cap off what they did because the Giants upset them last year. I don't think Lightning will strike twice. So I'm going to take the Bears.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be another interesting game. All these games are going to be now the 4 o'clock games. You got the Washington football team going into Arizona and 6.5-point underdogs, which is kind of disrespectful to Washington after what they did to the Eagles. But then again, the Eagles
got lucky.
So how much they did.
Just wait till week 17 when the playoffs are on the line. This is not going to be the same football team that we've seen this week. I'm telling you that right now. I mean, you realize that a team with no name is in first place in the NFC East. It's sickening.
I think towards Washington to cover because that defensive front seven is scary, Doug. I'll tell you that right now, that Washington has a good defense.
That's what I had heard. Now, what's the over-under?
That front seven is scary. The over-under is 46.5. I take the under. I think this is going to be a defensive battle.
I don't know how I'm betting yet, but this is actually the game I'm betting on.
Nice.
I don't know what I'm betting on yet. Now, Washington's the underdog?
Yes. Arizona's a -6.5. So Arizona has to win by a touchdown. Which actually could happen. I don't know.
Here's the thing. I actually like both teams. So I mean, Washington obviously is one of my teams, but I don't know how exactly I'm going to bet yet, but I do know I'm going to bet on it. But
you
I
like
do
the over
think
or under? Oh.
46, right?
Yeah, 46 and a half.
Oh, there's no way these two teams are combining for 46 points.
Yeah. I take under.
I mean, if it's going to be, I mean, it's going to be close. I bet you they probably combine for like 45.
And getting that close? Yeah. You have to watch for that by whenever you bet, because it always changes day by day. So,
yeah.
Depends on the book on you.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't, like I said, I don't know how I'm betting yet, but I do know that this is one of the games that I know for sure is getting my money put on it.
And then I think, who do you like, Clint? I forgot to ask you.
Man, that's a tough one, but we're talking. That's a real tough one to walk.
Yeah,
it is. Man, you know, I won't be surprised that I might end in a tie. I'm going out.
Okay.
I'm saying this week we might have a tie.
Oh wow, that would ruin a lot of bets.
Yes, and I'm gonna be a bet ruiner.
Oh boy, unless you bet Washington in the plus, then you'll be okay. If it's a tie, Baltimore and Houston. I think Baltimore is gonna go into Houston absolutely. Pound on Sean Watson, unfortunately, even though I like Watson. I didn't see anything from Houston's offense tell me that they can score on Baltimore, team like Baltimore, who I think is the best defense in the league. Baltimore's a -7 point favorite. I think Baltimore crushes them and improves to 2-0, and they definitely cover that. And I say they go over. 51.5.
What's the over-under?
51.5. So 52.
Oh, yeah. I would look at Baltimore to absolutely throttle them and probably go over. Now, how much is Baltimore favored by?
7. Which I think is pretty low, to be honest.
Oh, they'll definitely cover that.
I think Houston's on. That's only 7 because it's Houston's home. Do you think Baltimore's going to win, Clint, or Houston?
I'm going to go with Baltimore.
Yeah. I think Baltimore is making a statement this year.
I think
they want to win that Super
Bowl. I don't really think so. I don't think they're making a statement because the Baltimore is a team that will make a statement throughout the season. But they will choke when playoff time comes. So you can
yeah,
do all
probably.
The fuck you want. But right now, you guys been choking when it breaks up the shine, when the game matters most. It's the team. It's the time they choke. So
yeah, they're
until,
like the Dodgers of the.
You get that, until they get that first playoff win, I can't go. I'll support you during the season, but you are on. You it's time for you to move on.
Yeah, good point. They're like the Dodgers. Kansas City and the Chargers, the first AFC West battle between these two. The Chiefs are 8.5, and the over-under is 47.5. I take the over, and I take the Chiefs. Do they cover?
I'm going to say Chiefs, too,
and
I really do. I really think that Kansas City can take them on the over.
Yeah. I don't know if they can cover because I think the Chargers can stay in the game. As we've seen, they can but I don't know if they can score enough points against Kansas City. The over-under is tricky, but I think Kansas City can get close to that and then Chargers can score enough points to push it over. So I take Kansas City, but I take the Chargers to cover. What do you like, Lana?
I'm going with the Chiefs in this one.
You too, Doug?
Yeah.
Now the Sunday night game, the New England Cam Newton and the New England Patriots play Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle at 8:30, 8:20. Seattle is a -4 and over under is 45. I take the over and I take Seattle to cover.
Oh.
I think there's gonna be another shootout.
What's the over?
45.
Oh, it's definitely going to be a – actually, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a shootout or not. I mean, it might be with Russell Wilson, but I don't know. It depends.
Yeah.
But I
for it to be
like
a shootout, for it to be a shootout, it'll be more of a shootout of the Patriots, the offense, like 2 years ago to be a shootout. Right now, I'm looking at it more as either it's going to be a Seattle-dominant close win or it's going to be a close game.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a shootout. I don't think – but the Patriots still have a good defense, enough that it is. But it's not going to be a dominant – either one team is going to blow the other one away. No. It's not going to happen that way.
Yeah. I see a 27-20 game, and that takes it over. So I think 45 is low. Now, the Monday night game, the debut of the Raiders in Vegas, another new stadium. When I was there, I saw the stadium. It was still being built, but I saw it. Looks pretty cool. But the Saints and the Raiders, this could be a shootout. As we know, Raiders can score points. We all know the Saints can score points. So the Raiders are +6.5 at home. The over-under is 51. I think this goes over. And I'm going to take the Raiders in the upset. I just don't see the Raiders losing at home in their debut at their new stadium. Everybody's going to be on the Saints.
As much as it pains me, I'm going with the Raiders because with it being in the new stadium, there's no way they're gonna lose. Although if anybody can blow it, they can.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are gonna ride the Saints and overlook the Raiders like last week. But we'll see. Maybe everybody's gonna be in the Raiders because they impressed. So we'll see. What do you think, Clint?
Yeah. I'm going to go with New England, New Orleans still in this. But the thing that doubts me is with New Orleans is just finding out that Michael Thomas might be done for the rest of the season. Now.
Oh, shit. Really? Damn.
Yes.
Wow.
My team and realize my pick is now doubtful and that he might be put on IR.
Wow. That changes everything right there. Damn, that's breaking news, folks. Yeah, I'm definitely taking the Raiders now. Man, wow.
Well, then again, he wasn't really a factor in the Tampa Bay game, so.
Yeah. You're losing one of your best weapons. Damn, that sucks. You have any thoughts on that, Doug, as we have breaking news?
I think kind that of. Definitely changes things.
And not
well,
just for this game,
awesome
but for the season. Wow.
Yeah.
You guys have any final thoughts before we wrap up? No, sorry, Clint. What were you saying?
No, I was going to say they're saying he's going to miss several weeks after the test reveals that his eye sprinkles pretty much much worse than expected. that he might try to play through it, but I don't think that he's probably what he is listed as doubtful this week.
Wow.
Any word on James Conner? I know he injured his ankle too.
No.
Okay. Well, yeah, you guys have any final thoughts before we wrap this up, take it home?
Let's just take it home, man.
Let's just take it home.
Okay. For me, Doug, and Clinton, it was a good week of football. Hopefully we'll have another good week two, and we'll see more teams collapse, maybe.
As long as I keep winning money, all these weeks will be good.
Exactly.
Of course.
As long as I
you win money. As long as
I keep winning in fantasy, I'll be happy too. So
I just need to keep winning money so I can buy a hairpiece that looks like Trump's.
Why would you want to look like that, man, you know? You trying to get shot on a down low?
Well, for me, Doug, and Cliff, it's been the Hard Hits on Everything Unscripted Podcast Network. We'll see you on Friday. Bye, everybody.
Later.